Okay.
All right. Well, we've been looking at how to read God's clock, and we've been looking particularly at Daniel chapter 9, which really is the clock of prophecy, but it doesn't pick up with what is future for us. It was all future for Daniel. At the time this was given, every second of what's talked about here was still future. We'll talk a little bit about that as we look at this, and just kind of recapping a little bit. In Revelation we're dealing with this transition from the things which are to the things that will be hereafter, and so you obviously have a big shift. There's a shift in perspective because John is transferred, at least as far as his viewpoint, okay, maybe not physically, but his viewpoint goes from the Isle of Patmos, which is in off the coast between Turkey and Greece, to up here. Okay. And so up where? We're going to find that out a little bit more, but a very different perspective. And we actually enter the throne room, and so he's looking at it from God's perspective. And when we look at time, this, what we're looking at here, particularly deals with the timing of all the major future events of prophecy. And it's really crucial to get this, because this is the backdrop of the rest of the book of Revelation, since it's backdrop of all of the book of Revelation. And so if you don't have this in your pocket, as it were, you're going to have a hard time not getting lost in the book of Revelation, which a lot of people do, unfortunately. So it goes back to when Jesus was asked the question about when will these things be, speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem, and then about what would be the sign of his coming. And he answers that in what we know as the Olivet Discourse, given on the Mount of Olives, which is a very strategic location. That's the point of his departure, and it will be the point of his return. So it's both launch pad and landing pad for the Lord Jesus Christ. As the angels told the disciples, said, this same Jesus will so come in like manner as you've seen him go. And it was from the Mount of Olives that he took off. That's where he's coming back. And that was in the Old Testament, actually. That was predicted that he would, not that he would leave from the Mount of Olives, but that he would come back there. So when he gives us, he starts talking about the general things that are going to be going on in the lifetime of the disciples, and they extend on into our lifetime. But then he gets to finally, the first time he uses the word when, he says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. That takes us back here to Daniel chapter 9, which gives us this prophecy of the 70 weeks or 70 sevens. And they are sevens of what?
Years.
Very important to get a hold of this. They're not 7 weeks of 7 days. They're weeks of 7 years. And the context bears that out, because he's been talking about the Sabbath, the land Sabbath, had to do with how many years, not days, but how many years the land was to rest while they were in captivity, which was 70. And so that's come to an end. Daniel's been praying about that, but Gabriel is sent to inform him of an even bigger 70. Seven times as big, actually even bigger than that, but we'll get to that in a minute. So 70 sevens, which we have. The first group, it talks about 7 weeks. We're in Daniel chapter 9. If you want to go ahead and turn there. Daniel chapter 9. In verse 24, you have the 70 weeks are determined. That's it. This is not negotiable. This is the way it's going to be. Okay? And this is going to wrap everything up. That's verse 24. Okay, then he gives when the clock actually starts, because this is really a stopwatch.
Nine.
Yeah, verse 24, we have the 70 weeks are determined. and what they're determined for. That is to finish off everything. This is gonna wrap it up. Okay. Then in verse 25, he gives the starting point of these 77s of years. Okay, and the starting point is from the issuing the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Okay, so that's when it starts. Now, when was that? Well, it would have been in 445 B.C., which was still about over 100 years, or roughly 100 years after Daniel is writing this. Okay, so Daniel has literally died and gone to heaven before the clock starts. Okay, all right. So this would happen under. Let's see if I remember right. Artaxerxes Longimanus, that was the particular ruler of Persia who issued this decree, and this is in the time of Nehemiah. Earlier, you had the decree under Cyrus to go back, and they could rebuild the temple. They didn't really get around to rebuilding that temple until that decree was sort of reinforced some years later, and that's when Ezra and that group of people began rebuilding the temple. But under Nehemiah, they rebuild the wall, okay, and that's rebuilding the city. Okay, so, and it also mentions a couple of other things with plaza and moat. Okay, so it breaks it up into 7 sevens and 62 sevens for a total of how many?
69.
But how many have we got?
70.
That's important. Okay. Now, what happens during the first seven is the rebuilding of Jerusalem. And this would be 49 years, and that's about how long it took before they really got the city back together again, including the plaza, which would be like the central square, and the moat and so forth, which made it a fully defended city. So
this was
Nehemiah's time. Probably wasn't finished in Nehemiah's lifetime.
Okay. They did finish the walls.
Did finish the wall in Nehemiah's time. But probably Nehemiah was in heaven by the time they got everything done, and this first 49 years was complete. And then so you got that 7, and then plus 62 until the Messiah, the Anointed One. Okay. Now, what's interesting on this, take a look carefully at what it says. Okay. In verse 26, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city. What city is that? And the sanctuary. What sanctuary is that?
The temple.
Okay. And its end will come with a flood, even to the... And the flood here is not talking about a flood of water, but an overwhelming army. Okay, it's a commonly used expression for overwhelming force, which we still talk about today. Okay. Even to the end, there will be war. Desolations are determined. Lots of bad stuff's going to happen, and there's going to be lots of war. This matches exactly with what Jesus said on that Mount of Olives. Okay? Because you remember, the disciples asked two questions. The first one was, when is the temple going to be destroyed? Because Jesus said, you know, they were all impressed with it and said, isn't this great? You know? And Jesus said, there's not going to be one stone left on top of another. Which is exactly what happened. Now, that would happen in AD 70. Right? So, but you notice here that two things happen after the 62 and the 7, after the first 69 weeks. Okay? And you got to read this carefully. You got to watch the pronouns in this to get the what it's talking about. By the way, notice who destroys, in verse 26, who destroys Jerusalem?
The people of the prince that is to come.
The people of the prince that is to come. Who is that?
Jerusalem.
Good question. Okay. Did the Jews destroy the temple? Who destroyed the temple? The Romans. The prince who is to come is not the Messiah. He's already come. The prince who is to come is the one that we generally know of as the beast or the Antichrist. And it picks up talking about him in verse 27. And it says, he. That goes back to the prince who will come, who is the Antichrist. Now, you have to put a lot of pieces together here to see how this fits together, but it can't be Jesus. Okay, it's the people of the prince who would come that destroy Jerusalem. The Romans destroyed Jerusalem. There is a connection of some sort. Okay?
And now, when did you say that happened?
AD 70.
AD 70?
Mm-hmm. Roughly 35 to 40 years after Jesus was speaking on.
80.
A.D.
70.
70 A.D. That's okay. Yeah. A.D. 70.
Oh, my goodness.
Or 70 A.D. would be a better way to put it. I didn't
now
even think of it.
Now I've got it.
Yeah.
Now I've got it.
Yeah, 80, 70. We haven't quite gotten there yet.
Okay.
Well,
a long way.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
I see what she was thinking.
Yeah, 80, 70. Yeah. 70 A.D. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Okay. All right. So,
yeah.
That's what happened. The Romans did exactly what Jesus said they were going to do. Wiped the place out. Okay? It was horrible. It basically was very similar to what had happened when the Babylonians did it before, when Daniel was alive. Okay? So, it's like, here we go again. So, you've got two things that happen after the first 69 weeks are up. One is that the Messiah is cut off and has nothing. What? The other one is that the temple is destroyed. Now, notice what happens. It says in verse 27, he will make a firm covenant with the many. We'll talk about who that is. For what?
Week.
1 week. How many weeks we got left?
One.
Huh. This is it. Okay? This week is marked by the making of a covenant between the Antichrist and the nation Israel. Okay? This isn't the only place the Bible talks about this. Isaiah and Jeremiah predicted, Ezekiel talks about it. It's referred to as their covenant with death. Scary stuff. Okay? So there is a treaty between the nation Israel, at least the majority of them, okay, and the one that we usually refer to as the Antichrist or the Beast. Okay? He gets the term beast primarily from the book of Revelation. Okay? He's called the man of sin. He has a bunch of titles in Scripture. Various prophecies referring to this individual. Okay, so he makes this covenant, this treaty with Israel for 1 week, for 7 years. Okay, not 7 days, but 7 years. So that's our 70th week. So you got this gap right here, and then you have 1 week giving you the total of the 70. Okay. Now, we mentioned the expression abomination, desolation. Finish reading verse 27 here. It says, but in the middle of the week, that's important, in the middle of the week, how many years in a week of years?
Seven.
Okay. Middle, how long would that be?
3.5 years.
3.5 years. Remember that number. Mm-hmm. Yeah, or 1,260 days. And we're going to talk about these years here in just a minute. But he says here, in the middle week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate. Until a complete destruction, one of this decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. That is, he is going to do something absolutely despicable, and he is going to cause desolations until he himself is wiped out. And that's what's going to wrap this thing up. Okay? Now, before we get into this last week, okay, this last period of 7 years, it's important to notice, remember, there were two things that happened here in between. So there is a gap. Remember, we said this is a stopwatch. Okay? Everything up to this point, it's well, let's back up just a little bit. Years. How long is a year? Yeah, we generally think of it. Actually, how long is it really?
365 and a quarter.
Yeah, so that's why we have to have leap year. Okay, but in the ancient Jewish way of reckoning a year, they didn't do that. They didn't have a leap year. They had a leap month. Okay, and so for in the Jewish year, you had 12 months, just like we do. Okay? Each month, they didn't do this 28, 30, 31, all this nonsense. Anyway, every month had 30 days.
Makes sense.
Now, so how many days in a year?
360.
Okay, so you got 360 days in a year. And what they would do is every now and then they would have a leap month. They would have 13 months in a year to get things back in sync. Okay. So, here's what's interesting. There's made by Sir Anderson, who did some calculations based on what we know about this fact. Give you some details here. Can't remember all the details perfectly. Anyway, Sir Robert Anderson made a detailed study of a possible chronology for this period, beginning with well-established date of 445 BC when Nehemiah's decree was issued, and culminating in AD 32. He did these calculations, and he based the date of the decree when the stopwatch first starts. Okay, go. That was would have been March the 14th, 445 BC. Using the 360-day year, that comes out to ending on April the 6th, AD 32 AD, which would have been the day of the so-called triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem when he was officially rejected. It wasn't really triumphal at all. Okay. He was cut off. Now, you can debate fine points of that chronology. Okay. However, no matter what you do, you end up with an extremely reliable date that puts at least Jesus' death as taking place very, very shortly after the completion of the first 69 weeks. Then it's another 35 years or so before the other event. So you got two events. Messiah is cut off and has nothing. No kingdom, no nothing. Okay? By the way, Jesus is not on his throne. God is. And Jesus is on the right hand of the Father's throne, but he's not on his throne yet. Not in the Bible. In music, yes. Not in the Bible. All right? So anyway, he's cut off, has nothing. Okay? At least as far as Jerusalem is concerned. Okay? And what's the other thing?
Destruction of the temple.
Yeah. And the city. Okay? Jerusalem and the temple destroyed. So, one thing is for sure. There is a gap. Okay? The stopwatch is on hold. But the race is not over. So the prophecy makes it very clear that there is some sort of gap here. And two key events take place in that gap. We know, by the way, there's debate over exactly when Jesus died on the cross. Okay, but only within a very short time span. And it's interesting that any way you slice it, it comes out this way. Okay. No matter what side of the debate you're on, you sooner or later you're going to end up with these two things in the gap. So this is still future. Now, let me ask you something. Was this fulfilled literally?
Yes.
Hard to get much more literal than that. Okay? I mean, it's like clockwork. So what should we expect about this one?
Same clock.
Same clock. Yeah. Okay. You can't put this one and say, well, this is different.
Okay. No, it's not different.
Well, it's different, but not in that way. Okay? So, some things about this. We can look at a lot more details on that, but it's just, this is way beyond fascinating. Okay, it just indicates how we have the word of prophecy made more sure, as Peter put it. Okay, you better watch this thing. Keep your eye on the clock. Right. So
we're still in the gap.
We're still in the gap. This is really important to understand, okay? Because there was something major that would happen here that was not in the Old Testament. And that's the church. It's not in the Old Testament. Now, there's things that we can, lots of stuff we can learn from all of the Old Testament and so forth. But the church itself is not there. Gentile salvation is there, a whole bunch of other things. But there'll be Gentile salvation here, too. Lots of it. But there's a whole bunch of things, but mainly, these were predicted. But what else is going on? It's shrouded in, I started to say mystery, not in the biblical sense, but mystery in the way we use it. Okay, so, all right. So we've got this gap. This one, now what is the event that kicks off this last 7-year period?
The treaty.
This is really important to get. When the ink goes on that treaty, the clock starts again. Right there. Okay? And not until. Okay? Really important to understand. And when it starts, there is no stopping it. Okay? If you're around, you better hang on, okay? Hopefully, nobody here is going to be around. Right? But at any rate, so that's our 70th week. So, and then it has a midpoint, which is also a very important part of this clock. Okay, and that midpoint takes place when you have this abomination of desolation. Okay, and that's when he puts a stop to the sacrifice and so on and so forth. So he stops the sacrifice and the grain offering halfway through this. Now, I want you to come over. There's two other places where you have this abomination of desolation. I'll just mention one because it's already been fulfilled, okay? But it was a foreshadowing of the main one. And if you want to make a note somewhere, Daniel 11:31, you have the expression abomination of desolation. That one was fulfilled by a successor to Alexander the Great by the name of Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus IV. And Daniel's prophecy describes him perfectly and exactly what happened. Now, this happened during the period between the Old Testament and the coming of Christ in the New Testament, during the period of the Maccabees. If you ever want to read the book of Maccabees, I'd recommend it. It's very interesting. Not everything in it probably is true, but it's very interesting. And it is a history of this time period when there was a lot of heroism on the part of the Jewish people in the face of terrible, terrible persecution at the hands of Antiochus Epiphanes. He was one of the four heir to the Alexander's empire broke up into four parts exactly as Daniel had predicted. And Antiochus Epiphanes was over the biggest part of that, which was centered in Syria, interestingly enough. And they got control of Palestine, and lots of horrible things happened. So that's 11, chapter 11, verse 31. But if you go to the very last chapter, okay. And by the way, chapters 10, 11, and 12 in Daniel, just if you want to know, are the last vision. Three chapters for this last vision, which follows right on the heels of our clock here in chapter 9. So go to chapter 12. And in verse 11, it says something very interesting. It says, "And from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days." Okay? 1,290 days. Now, what is half of 7? 3.5. 3.5 times 360 is how many days?
1,260.
But this is 1,290.
Did I have a leap month?
I had a leap month. You have to wonder. The most likely thing, this is so close to this that it can't be an accident. Okay, so what is the 1,200, what's the extra 30? Most people who follow a consistent interpretation of all this conclude that basically these 30 days, and there's another time frame that gets mentioned elsewhere too, which is similar but a little bit different. That 30 days is the time during which the judgments that Jesus describes on the Mount of Olives take place. The judgment of surviving Jews at the end of the tribulation and surviving Gentiles at the end of the tribulation. This apparently takes 30 days. So that's your 1290. Okay. So that's our timing situation here. So let's see. Okay, and it talks about the abomination of desolation being set up. We don't have a lot of time here, but we're going to see this more in the book of Revelation. This is going to get expanded, but you have a little bit of an expansion of it by the Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians. Because 2 Thessalonians is concerned with the issue, some people thought we are already in the day of the Lord. That is, which is another way of saying we're already in the tribulation. That was understandable. They were going through a lot of trouble. But I want us to, in wrapping up, go back to the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24. And it's very important to understand there are tribulations and then there's the tribulation. Okay. Tribulation, it's a borrowed word, comes from a Greek word, which means to crush, to just grind into the ground. It's horrible. Okay. And this really is kind of a follow-on. We're gonna go from, look at verse 15. "When you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place." Okay, somebody is, or something is standing in the temple. Okay? And then it says in verse 21, which is really, this is a continuous sentence. Okay? "For then," that is at that point, "there will be a" what?
Great tribulation.
"Great tribulation." Not just a really big one. But it says, "such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall." This is unique. Now, he is really referring here to the last half of this seven-year period. So, really, biblically, the term Great Tribulation refers to 1,260 days, not to the whole seven-year period. But we often use the term tribulation to refer to the whole 70th week or 7 years. Biblically, it really doesn't. So, you know, that's just something to keep in mind as you're reading passages. When it talks about this great tribulation, it's the last half of this. Daniel makes it very clear. It's in the middle of the seven-year period that something happens, and something awful happens in the temple. Okay, and we got to quit here. But that whole thing provides us the time framework for the book of Revelation, particularly from chapter 4 till we get to chapter 19 at least. Okay, so really important to understand this whole thing, and I'm sure we'll have lots of questions to go, but we got to quit. So, okay. Any quick questions for you? Okay. Who'd like to close in prayer?
Thank you for your word, which helps us understand how you are working and what the place that we have in your plan. And I thank you for David teaching us and the study he has put in through the years. And I want to pray that we will look to you in these days when there are so many frightening things in the world, and we will remember that when we walk with you, you will always care for us and protect us and help us to have the faith and the obedience and the endurance that we need in these perilous times. I pray for Pastor Philip that you would anoint him and bless him this morning as he brings the Word of God to us. And I thank you, Lord, that you give us your Word to show us the way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.